excited for our very special Empower Hour this week. We have actually it's wonderful. Robin says she has a cat with lung issues, so that'll be perfect to talk about today. So we're actually starting the respiratory course. And the respiratory course is going to be 5 different modules spread over 3 Empower Hours. So tonight, next Monday, and the next Monday after, we'll be doing the respiratory course with the slides and definitely answering your questions. Both Dr. Jeff will be doing it on the chat, and then we'll take time to do it where you can ask yourself, and then we'll certainly cover some issues, especially Robin, since it's a lung issue. We'll begin to start with hers at the end of the class. You will receive slides and the text, so you don't have to rush to take notes. You don't have to worry if a slide goes away too fast, because you'll be able to see it yourself and do it in your own time. So really, welcome. I'm so glad so many of you are here. And I think it'll be really wonderful to dig into this respiratory work. So we're going to switch to slides now, hopefully. So share, holistic actions.
There you go.
And then stop my video.
Yep.
Okay, and so can you all now?
Yep.
Okay, so here we go. Play slide show. Here we go. So you can still see each other, and just make sure your view lets you see most of the slide. Do the pictures get in the way of the slide, Dr. Jeff? Like, do you see the whole slide right now?
Yep, we do, with the pictures on top.
Very good. Now I have to get this to, there it did it. Okay, so we're going to be talking about respiratory conditions. Pneumonia, since it was mentioned already by Robin, flu, kennel cough, asthma, many other diseases. And this course really connects the vitality that's in the air that's around us with our what we breathe. So we talk about prana in Chinese medicine, and breathing in the air fits really with prana, and of course qi and the vital force as well. And
prana is a concept in Ayurveda.
In India. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to get out of this course will be a deeper understanding of respiratory conditions. So the course itself, we're going to do the introduction today, discussing what's the respiratory system and how it works. We're going to talk about symptoms, both internal and external symptoms. Then next week, we'll move into specific diseases and diagnostic testing, and using HMDM to help you decide what your next steps are going to be, depending on the specific diseases that we're looking at, depending on the symptoms that you recorded and observed from this week. And then finally, the last section will be on holistic and homeopathic care, much like we've been doing with our acute cases. And so you're going to learn about how your pets breathe, about symptoms like discharge and sneezing and coughing, and how to observe them the best and how to see them in context. And also looking at the HMDM to choose treatment approaches. So you're going to, this will be what we'll be covering. And if you're not getting it, ask questions and we'll make sure you get all the information you want so that you and your pets can breathe fully and easily. Now, this module is specifically about the respiratory system. How do our pets breathe? How do the cells breathe? that are inside our pet's bodies. So what is your pet's respiratory system? How does it work? And what does it do? Well, we know that we all living beings inhale and exhale. And that is definitely part of it. But at the fundamental level, it really is this inhaling and exhaling is what allows your pets to live. Respiration denotes two things. One is the inhaling and exhaling that we're thinking about, that we're seeing here, but also at the cellular level, it's the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, which goes from the blood into your cells so that your body, your pet's body, can actually function. So we're going to start first with the exchange of gases in the air. We have the nose. So they breathe in through the nose, and then it moves into the nasal and sinus cavities, down the trachea, and then we're into the lung area. So you see the trachea, and then you see the bifurcation, and then it's called a bronchi. But basically, it's just a smaller tube. Then we go into smaller tubes called bronchioles. And those bronchioles then end up in, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, of the end up in these sac-like areas called alveoli. And we're going to see a little more about the alveoli. There are millions of them. At the end of every one of those green, blue, yellow branches is an alveoli, sort of like leaves on a tree. And that's the place where the work actually gets done. So in the alveoli, that's the blue line in the center. The blue circle is an alveolus, so one of those little sacs that was in the red corner. And the capillary is right next to the alveolus, and the oxygen goes into the capillary, and we'll talk later how the oxygen gets there. So the oxygen goes into the capillary, and here's another picture depicting it. So there's an alveoli with the capillaries around it, and that circle is that tiny bit where you see the capillary and the oxygen going from the alveolus into the capillary and the carbon dioxide that we'll talk about later going out. It goes from the alveoli, the oxygen goes from the alveoli into the red blood cells. And then it's in the red blood cells where there's hemoglobin. And the hemoglobin has these red blood cells then be full of oxygen. And they're then transported by the pulmonary arteries. Remember, arteries go out into the body and veins come back to the heart. So it goes first from the lungs to the heart, and then it gets sent around the whole body. Now, the other piece to this, once it gets to the cells, the oxygen then goes from the capillary into the cell. And in the cell, it's now at the level of cellular respiration. So we talked first about the air coming in. Now we're talking about what happens in the cell. The mitochondria and the cells use the oxygen to convert the potential energy that's in the nutrients into adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. And ATP is what provides the energy that allows all the other things we've talked about in other courses and more to happen in your pet's body. It allows life to happen, really. Now, at the same time, in this process, where there's a waste produced, there are multiple wastes, but the one we're focusing on with respiration is carbon dioxide. And the carbon dioxide, which is the byproduct of the ATP, of the cellular respiration, then moves into the red blood cells in the capillaries and is transported by veins back to the heart and then to the lungs. And then in the lungs, we're back to the same picture. Now you see the yellow CO2 coming out from the capillary into the alveolus, and then it gets exhaled out through the bronchi and the trachea. So that's the oxygen CO2 coming in and out of the body. Now, wait a minute, how does the body even know how to breathe? This is really, I love how our body works. It's so interesting. And our pet's bodies, of course, exactly the same. So there is a part that we haven't talked about yet, and that is the diaphragm. The diaphragm sits between the abdomen and the chest, and it is really, it's the mechanical part that has us breathing, has your pets breathing. The diaphragm has nerves connecting it to the brain, and the brain then is telling the diaphragm when to contract. When the diaphragm contracts, it changes the size, it makes the chest cavity bigger, forcing air to be sucked into the lungs. That's when you take a breath in. As the diaphragm muscle relaxes, all the little muscles in that big diaphragm muscle, as those cells relax, it makes the chest cavity smaller, which changes the pressure and actually pushes the air then out of the lungs. Now, this is all automatically controlled, as you know. You don't have to think about it. Your pets aren't thinking about how the air is coming in and how the air is going out. And your job, and what we're talking about at Holistic Actions Academy, is to find the ways to keep that brain healthy, to keep the diaphragm working well, to have all these parts of the respiratory system being supported as much as we possibly can. And using HMDM, the holistic medical decision-making process, and holistic approaches and homeopathy can certainly help have this happen. Well, now, it's not just breathing that the respiratory system does. The nose is used for smelling, we have cooling, and then multiple parts of the respiratory system work with protecting from infection, filtering out particles, changing the pH of the body. So let's look at this in a little more detail. First, cells in the nasal passages, so up in the nostrils, they're sensors, and they smell, they're connected to the brain, and the brain interprets what they're smelling. Now, we know that animals, dogs and cats particularly, have incredible senses of smell. So keeping the nose healthy so they can smell well is really important for them. Now, this dog is showing another one, which is panting. And panting is used for cooling. And it happens when the water that's in the mouth, the saliva, is in contact with the air and then evaporates. And that evaporation causes a cooling. Now, it's important, we talked about panting in the heart course, and it's important to remember that panting doesn't always mean there's an ailment. It doesn't mean there's a heart problem. It doesn't mean there's a respiratory problem. It can be very normal. Number one, for cooling. Number two, just some animals are more sensitive to temperatures and therefore pant more. It can be an expression of emotion as well. So sometimes you just have to walk near your toy box or near the frisbee or the ball, and your dog is over there, maybe has learned not to bark, but instead is standing there going, please throw that ball. So it also can be an expression of communication and can be an expression of anxiety as well. Now, as I said, the respiratory tract stops infection. I love this slide. The nose has, imagine stuff that shouldn't be there coming into the nose. The nose first produces extra mucus. So it already has mucus, produces extra mucus, which either drips out or you sneeze it out. Your dog or cat sneezes it out. And that's getting rid of a lot of particulate matter. So some sneezing and some discharge is completely normal. It's getting rid of stuff that comes in. Could just be dust. It could also be a harmful infectious agent. There are cilia, little hairs in the nose that also start moving. And those can push out things like virus, pollen, toxins. So this is normal and healthy to do this. Now the lungs help keep the pH balance in the body normal. And this also is a good disease protection. So now you know how the respiratory system works. And that was quick and dirty. We're going to take a break now to see if there are questions that we need to answer. So you want to open the microphones, Dr. Jeff?
I'm not sure I can open them all at once. So everyone can, wait, I can actually.
And what were there
all
in
right,
the chat?
So now we're all, we're all unmuted. So any questions about the nose, the sinuses, the trachea, or the lungs?
So we have one that was in the chat. I have an elderly dog with excessive panting. And so that's one, again, we're looking, we would look more at context at how that dog was doing. And is the panting because of I'm interested and I want to do something, or I'm anxious, or one we didn't mention, which certainly can happen, is he in pain? Does it happen when he starts to move or walking up and down steps, going on a walk? So you can see animals panting when they're having discomfort. And it can be, and different times of day certainly can affect it as well.
I'm just going to mute you for a sec, Dr. Chabro. All right, sorry.
Okay, no problem. So Adria, you can, do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Okay, well, my dog is quite old. He's over 16, and he doesn't wake up panting, but within the first hour or two of waking up, he does start panting, and he spends most of his waking time panting with his tongue hanging out. So he does have some heart issues, so I'm thinking that it may be as a result of that, some arthritis that's being handled by Dr. Jeff, and he's much better on that end as well. So I'm not sure it's a combination or just one of those things. Is there some way to determine which of those things may be causing the panting?
And yeah, it's unfortunately not easy to do. You have to rule out all the other causes. And we'll, in the next module, talk specifically about diseases, because one of the diseases definitely fits Marco, which we haven't talked about yet. But it's not anything you have to worry about. It's just an age-related change. And yes, to heart issues, there's a huge overlap there that the panting can indeed be, you know, either respiratory or heart. And that's why I said to Adria, you know, we need to really rule out one or the other, or, you know, try and get to a definitive diagnosis to get a real answer. And actually, usually, we need a retrospectoscope to be able to tell you why they're panting. We need to resolve all the problems and then look in hindsight, you know, and say, oh, it's like the early warning signs that we determined based on treatment that then went away.
And your job, Adria, is to pay attention if during, after those first 2 hours are gone and the panting begins, is there any time when the panting stops? Is there anything that seems to alleviate it? Are there times when it's worse? So really just make note in your observations of that. panting, you know, if he takes a nap during the day, is he still panting while he's taking the nap? So be very specific. Sort of walk him through hour after hour through the whole day. And that can help, number one, choose the homeopathic remedy, and number two, to distinct what, it, you know, like if most of the panting is after he's moving, then it might be more pain related. If it's, so they're definitely, your observations will make a difference there.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Jeff, do you want to talk about probing?
Yeah, that was it's the test is the proBNP, just an enzyme released by the heart when the muscles stretch that we talked about during the heart course. So yeah, that and for diagnosis, Sue, auscultation, listening to the heart, listening to, you know, if there's murmur, where the murmur is, putting it all in context, and then x-ray, and then echocardiograph are the main ways to look at heart and respiratory. You can actually look at, you know, often they go hand in hand. You know, I've had a lot of clients consult the cardiologist because of, you know, panting, and it wasn't the heart, it was a respiratory issue.
Excellent. Okay, anybody else with another burning question before we move on to the second part, looking at respiratory symptoms this time?
It's not a question and it's not burning, but I have an 11-year-old Shih Tzu, and her nose would be considered an innie if it was a belly button. So through most of the year, she's okay. But at this time of year, with increased humidity and heat, it's, you know, she has a morning walk, but she's really panting when she comes back. I bought a cooling pad. I don't do anything special, but we do cut back on walks at this time of the year when it gets hot. Is that okay? There's, you know, I haven't seen any signs that I need to pursue it further.
It sounds, we're going to be talking a little bit about, in terms of context, and you've already addressed that, which is small nose, small nostrils because of the breed. And therefore, you're doing exactly right, which is to notice where there's a problem. The only way that, so here's the thing about symptoms that we think are normal because of X, Y, or Z, because of the breed, because of the circumstances. Has she always been that way in the summer in the humidity, or is it something that has gotten all of a sudden started or all of a sudden worsened?
No, always.
Okay, then for that, you probably wouldn't worry about it. Now, as we've said, sometimes things like that do go away with homeopathic treatment. We're assuming they're normal and they turned out to be not normal. But from our experience, and I saw Dr. Jeff nodding his head as well, we would say that that's just normal. Been doing it all the time, hasn't suddenly gotten worse, therefore wouldn't worry about it unless it got worse.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. We will move on to the next module now. Let's try this again.
All right.
Getting there. This works. Okay. Looks like we're back at the beginning, right? Well, we're at the beginning of module two. So we're now looking at the symptoms. And I think most of you who are here recognize the importance of symptoms. And so you know that symptoms are the language of the body. Therefore, symptoms are the way you're going to know what is going on with the respiratory system, what is the balance, the imbalance, and look at them in context as well. Now, in following modules, next week, we'll be looking at the causes, the treatments, the, quote, diseases of the respiratory system. So today is just the symptoms of the different parts of the respiratory system. Now, you've seen that the respiratory system is fairly complex. when they're healthy, like this young kitty who's definitely grooming herself happily, breathing is easy, it's automatic, there's no symptoms, or most of the time there's no symptoms. You may see something occasionally, like if there's a breed-related problem or there's a weather change or a little bit of anxiety, but usually it's pretty normal. If it's not, you need to be a detective and really be looking through the symptoms as clues to what's going on. The DNA in this picture is to remind us that every animal is an individual. And in some animals, a symptom may be, what you perceive as a symptom may be entirely normal. And in another animal, or at another time with your animal, it could be an indication of specific pathology. As with all symptoms that we've talked about, we want to put symptoms in context. Most important is BEAM, behavior, energy, appetite, and mood. If you have a dog who's all of a sudden started panting but is feeling great, look for some other possible causes. Or you may have a cat who started sneezing and at the same time got very picky about eating. Now, you have to stop for a moment always and keep looking at the context. Is the cat being picky because the nose is obstructed and they can't smell very well? Or is it part of an imbalance that's going on? And if the cat has a behavior change like being grumpy, then that could very well point you to the fact that, this is not a normal sneezing. So looking at the symptoms in context is very important. We have some major respiratory symptoms, okay? These are the four major areas we're going to look at. Discharges, whether it's from the nose or coughing, which would be called expectoration. Sneezing, difficulty breathing, and coughing. So we're going to look at each of these different symptoms, starting with the discharges. So discharges, like coming from this nose, are very important to be paying attention to. Now, some of them are completely normal. To have a little bit of watery discharge coming out, or as we talked about earlier, part of the early defense system in your dogs and cats is to sneeze out or discharge out some foreign bodies that have come into the nose. I remember somebody was working in her house and painting her house using a sprayer, and one of her cats developed a discharge, and it was a clear discharge that was tinted with the color of the paint she was using. So she then obviously kept the cat out of that room. But the cat had been just sticking its nose into the paint area and liking to be there. So until she saw the discharge, she thought, well, maybe I'd better not do this. Describing the discharge is really important. Consistency, color, odor, if there is any odor. Acrid or bland. We've talked about acrid discharges or acrid things before. Acrid is when the surface over which the discharge goes becomes raw or ulcerated. Another way to think about acrid is burning. So when you have a dog or a cat who underneath the nose, under where the nostrils are open, it's raw. The lip itself may become raw. Or it may be that how they're grooming themselves, if they're grooming a particular area a lot, you may see a little bit of hair loss or rawness in that area because as they're grooming, that discharge is getting onto that area. The other thing to pay attention to is where is the discharge coming from? Especially at the beginning, you may not be clear when you see something sitting on the floor or sitting on the, or you see it on your window. Did it come from the nose or did it come from the mouth? And sometimes coughs sound a lot like either reverse sneezing or just a hard sneeze. So again, paying attention, you want to record where it came from. Now, again, regardless of whatever started the symptoms, so it could be 5 cats that have been exposed to upper respiratory viruses and bacteria, and each one of them may have a completely different discharge, completely different pattern of ailments. And sometimes you're going to see blood in the discharge, or it may be pure blood that you're seeing. Blood freaks all of us out. Sometimes a little bit of blood, or even one gush of blood, can be because the sneezing is violent and it's just ruptured a blood vessel. So it's not something to panic about. When you see a lot of even a thicker, but not so, maybe not green, it's more of a whitish color, clear to whitish, think about what's going on. It could be that they're sneezing out, doing the normal sneezing of getting rid of sand or dust or the paint. Another thing that's important about discharges is they can be a sign of healing. When you're seeing nasal discharge, think for a moment if you've recently given a homeopathic remedy or if other treatment has been given recently. And if they're feeling good in general, whatever symptom you were treating could have been diarrhea, skin problems, whatever, and then all of a sudden the nose starts discharging. It's a good thing as long as they're feeling okay in general. Again, don't panic when you see discharges, even if you see a bloody discharge. Now, there are some clues, however, that indicate that your animal, so if they're absolutely normal discharges, there certainly are honorable discharges. Now, if they're getting worse, or if maybe you missed the earlier watery symptoms, because they were licking their nose possibly, these are some clues that the treatment you're doing is not working, or that you've started a little further along the continuum of becoming ill. So if watery becomes mucousy or thick, if clear becomes darker colored or bloody, green, yellow, if the odorless becomes offensive or even fetid and really yucky smelling, if the bland discharge starts causing the tissue to become raw, becomes acrid, these are all signs that you're moving in the wrong direction. Now, again, this discussion of discharge is being applied to both expectoration and nasal discharge. So in the expectoration, you could also see some blood. But again, there's no need to panic right away because it could be just a little bit of blood that is making the discharge look quite bloody. So again, the context of how they're doing overall is going to guide you in terms of needing to go right to the vet or not. But paying attention to, this is sort of a knowing about how the discharges can worsen is important. And each of these discharges shows the individuality of each of your animals. Other things are what makes the discharge better or worse, the modalities. Does the nasal discharge or the cough with expectoration just start when they go outside? Or you go outside and start exercising? When it's cold outside and they come inside to the warm room, is that when the discharge starts? Now again, a clear discharge, a small amount of a clear discharge coming from cold to warm may be completely normal. Again, is this something new for your animal, or has it always been this way? The weather, cold weather, hot weather, humid weather. So we were talking earlier about humid weather making it worse, when making the panting worse when the nostrils were a little bit small. And that makes sense. The phases of the moon can definitely affect our animals. So when you see symptoms that come and go, pay attention to the phase of the moon. The other is, we've seen animals that start their nasal discharge when they're anxious or when they're excited. So paying attention to everything else that's going on is very important. In addition to those modalities, we want to look at age, as we talked about earlier with the 16-year-old. Breed, as we talked about with the small nose. And as well as what's going on. The cat with the painted nose discharge was because the circumstances where the person was painting the house.
And I just want to jump in because Patty just asked about reverse sneezing and the other circumstance and timeline you want to always record.
We'll get to sneezing and reverse sneezing in a little bit. With the discharges, the timeline can still be very important because, again, well, as we found, it could be that only in the winter when it's really cold is it happening. Or there was one episode where they had a very bad upper respiratory, and ever since then, they've had a chronic nasal discharge. Or ever since they had an bad episode of diarrhea, there's been a nasal discharge that has been off and on. So the timeline can also be a clue to you, as well as, remember we talked about how the discharge changes. So the timeline will help you make your observations. Is it getting better or is it getting worse? For instance, if it's a mucousy thick discharge that's becoming watery and you're noting that on the timeline, then you know you're moving in the right direction. So the clues of worsening, you can invert to clues of getting better. So the timeline really helps. It's very important with discharges not to stop the discharges, if at all possible, with drugs or other treatments that are working against the energy field of the body. So like antibiotics and antihistamines can slow down the pet's healing. And often you'll notice with the beam symptoms that, like this dog, they're tired. They're wiped out. Now his coat's pretty glowing for a very ill dog, but sometimes, you know, on the other hand, he looks like he's sort of out of it there. So you don't want to suppress the discharges. That's an important thing to remember. Okay, now on to sneezing. So the sneeze is, again, one of those great things that the body does to prevent infection. It could be even things like a plant on or a piece of grass that's gotten into the nose, and it starts a whole bout of sneezing. It can help get rid of viruses, bacteria, and there may or may not be discharge along with the sneezing. There may be just a little bit of clear mucus, not even a discharge, or they may sneeze out anything that we discussed in the discharge section. Now, there are two kinds of sneezes. One is called an expiratory sneeze, so expiration going outwards, and that's the normal type of sneezing from an infection or an illness or just normal, I'm getting rid of something in my nose. The second type is an inspiratory sneezing, and this inspiratory sneezing is the reverse sneezing. It's sort of, instead of ha-choo, it's very snarkily sounds. When we look in the conventional medical, veterinary medical books, they talk about reverse sneezing as being an irritation in the back of the throat rather than an irritation in the nose. And that even though the noise is coming from the nose, that they're sort of sucking in air and it's triggered by this irritation in the back. Homeopathically, what we have found is that the appearance of reverse sneezing is very frequently related to the rabies vaccine, or appears in animals who have other symptoms of what we call the rabies miasm. So very related to that area. And it definitely can be cured. So now sneezing, one of the things you want to look at is how often does it happen during the day and when? So is it 5 times a day? Is it just once a day? Then the second part of the frequency is how many sneezes happen in a row. Sometimes you're not able to say because it's hard to separate them out. So you may say that they sneeze steadily for 10 seconds or 20 seconds. So that's when you have repeated sneezing or coughing in a row like that. It's called paroxysmal. And that's a word that's used in the homeopathic books as well as the medical books. The other thing is how violent is the sneezing? Is it just a mild sneeze or a really violent sneeze? And then, of course, you want to note if there is any discharge, and then, of course, go back and cycle through the discharge notes and be specific about what the discharge looks like. Now, modalities related to sneezing could be exercise. It could be, again, going indoors and outdoors, different temperatures in the house, out of the house. It can be the weather and the moon. It can be emotion and excitement. Another one that can sometimes trigger sneezing is picking up the pet, or sometimes maybe with grooming. These are anything that you're noticing seems to trigger it. Again, with context, the age, the breed, what's happening around that time, especially when vaccines were given. If you're looking at a reverse sneeze, you want to really pay attention to that. But we always, of course, are paying attention to any changes that happen after we have to give the legally required rabies vaccination. And so the reverse sneezing is, it is definitely, if you're seeing reverse sneezing, that is a time you need to probably be working with a veterinary homeopath if your initial treatments and changes in building the immune system don't seem to help, because it is a more deep-seated problem. Dr. Jeff, any questions on the chat about the sneezing that we should answer?
Yep, Sue just asked about her pup that does 14 sneezes in a row sometimes, and sometimes they're very violent, and they're so violent that often starts drooling after sneezing.
And that's an excellent individualizing symptom, that there's drooling after sneezing. So that's very important. And then we'd want to know, has that always happened? Is it something new? Could it be related? Could it be normal? Could it be ingesting something, that this dog is a sniffer and sticking its nose into things? So you'd want to be looking at those circumstances in order to help you decide what your next steps will be. And of course, we'll be talking more about that next Monday.
Yep.
How long has this been going on?
Yeah, she said just started the summer and she thinks it might be allergies.
Well, allergies is something very important actually to talk about. And we'll talk about that next week in the diseases of the respiratory system. But people use the word allergy, and as if it is the problem. I get diarrhea because I'm allergic to gluten. I have eye and nose discharge because I'm allergic to cats. Quote allergy simply means my vital force is sensitive to a trigger because it's not strong enough at this point. And that's where we go. So the frequent sneezing like that from, quote, an allergy would be to follow all of these steps of symptom collection. And then we'll talk next week about possible treatments. So do your timeline of when it started this year and what happened earlier in the spring, vaccines, a move, other chemicals, things like that. And then look at the different modalities we've talked about with sneezing. And then we'll go on from there next week. You'll have a list all ready to go. Anything else, Dr. Jeff?
Nope. We can go on right now.
Okie, I guess we'd better get moving here.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're talking about difficulty breathing. So here are some things that you want to look for, or what would prompt you to think that your animal is having dyspnea, which just means difficulty breathing. Pneia is breathing. Gasping, wheezing, snoring. Snoring often can be because there's mucus in the nose, or mucus down even into as far down into the trachea. Certainly, when they're having difficulty breathing, they can turn blue, which would be a not very good sign. They can, along with the difficulty breathing, they can be panting, or they seem to really not be able to catch their breath at all. They can have a specific kind of dyspnea called hyperpnea, which is rapid, shallow breathing. And also, it's a little tricky, but if you carefully observe when you're doing your respiratory exam, and just, you may have to watch off and on during the whole day to notice it. Is the difficulty breathing on inhale or exhale? Is it, or is it, that is important. How do you like my descriptions there? And of course, we're looking at we're looking for modalities. So what makes it worse? And it can be exercise, the same things, the weather, the moon. It can also be picking up your pet, pressing on the chest, pressing on the throat, being the inside, outside. And the context of the difficulty breathing is definitely important. For instance, many of the dogs that we call brachiocephalic, who have sort of a flat face, and cats, have their nose is just shaped. So, and even the sinuses and the space in their head can impede the flow of air. Now, this can be both genes and the expression of the genes. So dogs with the same genetics, some may have trouble and others may not have trouble. And of course, remember that trouble breathing isn't always a sign of disease. We've talked about it could be completely normal. It could be just their heavy breathing after after a lot of exercise. Now, coughing, I wouldn't want to be that dog. He's really got a good cough going there. We want to look particularly at the frequency and the severity, and we want to see if it is sort of paroxysmal or spasmodic. Is it cough, 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 3 in a row, 10 in a row, or 1 at a time? Is it dry, wet? Would you call it a hacking or a gagging cough? And does anything come up with it? Of course, with the coughing, we're also looking at if they're the same modalities, what makes it worse? So everything in the respiratory system tends to be affected by these same things. With coughing, One of the ones you want to add in, and these will be in the notes, is it's very important to notice the time of day when the coughing is. Frequently, heart coughs indicating that there may also be a problem with the heart will happen after an animal has been lying down. Sometimes they'll go to bed at 9 and they wake up at 1 or 2 coughing. And then it doesn't mean they have a heart problem. It could just be the unique individuality of your pet, but it's one that you want to check out if they seem to have that cough along with when they're lying down. And definitely pay attention to any emotions that seem to trigger the coughing. And of course, the same context that we talked about. Now, another piece before we get into the respiratory exam is when you're looking at the circumstances and the timeline, also pay attention to what we call concomitant symptoms in homeopathy. These are any other symptoms that started at the same time the coughing started in other parts of the body, like diarrhea, itching, and record and quantify those symptoms as well. It could even be two different things in the respiratory system, as we talked about. You could have coughing and a nasal discharge. We have the home respiratory exam. First step, doing this on a regular basis so that you're familiar with doing it will help you when your animal is experiencing some respiratory problems. What this exam tells us is how well all of the tissues in the body are being oxygenated. And that means how well they're functioning, how well the cells are breathing. So we're going to start with examining the nostrils and the area that's around them. And I'm sorry, let me back up. Another reason we're going to do this is to help you decide, which we'll be talking about next week, do you need to go to the veterinarian right away? If there's coughing and you do this exam and you come up with normal for all of it and the beam is normal, then you'll wait a little bit and see what's happening with the cough. Gives you another clue. If you have some coughing and then you do the capillary refill time and it's slow and the gums are a little bit blue, you know you need to go to the veterinarian. So that's one of the other reasons to be doing this exam. One is it'll help you for treatment, and one to decide if you actually need to go to the veterinarian right away. So a lot of this we did in the home heart health exam as well. Now, first you're going to look at the overall. Here's a cat who is pretty scruffy looking in general. So the overall is not as good with this cat. Then you want to look at the beam symptoms and look for early warning signs like snow nose. You want to see, then you move into the nostrils. Are they clear, crusty? Do they have any discharge? Then hopefully you've been doing this enough and begin doing it as soon as you have an animal in your home so they don't mind you futzing around with their mouth. And you're going to look at the color and then do the capillary refill time where you press with your finger, take your finger away, and see how fast the color returns. After the capillary refill time, you're going to do the resting respiratory rate. And you want to do this when they're napping, sleeping, or resting. And it's important because when you have a little kitty like this who has maybe an upper respiratory infection, the respiratory rate is going to change. So it's important to be looking at the different respiratory rates and recording them. Remember, all of this needs to be recorded. The next is you want to do what's called an inducible cough. Check for an inducible cough by pressing on the trachea. You'll see this very often with dogs that have the kennel cough, that when you press on their throat, that will trigger the coughing. Most importantly, again and again, is use the respiratory system, use the home respiratory exam to help you find more symptoms. So you have the symptoms we first talked about, then the ones you come up with the exam, because when you look at symptom context with the holistic interpretation, it'll empower you to decide what you need to do next. Go to the vet or treat at home. And your observation and recording is what's going to help you have a healthy dog. And even when your pets become ill, there are many ways to help restore them to full vitality and balance. And that's what we're going to be covering in the next section of this course. We'll see actual ailments and how problems in one area of the respiratory system can actually compromise other functions of the body. Thank you so much for hanging in there with all this information. And I'm glad we were able to actually talk about some of the problems that the animals were having.
So we only have a few minutes left, guys. So,
yep. Anything show up in?
Yep. Well, a couple of general comments, but any specific questions about, you know, symptoms, about sneezes or discharges, coughing or dyspnea?
All right, we did our job. No questions. Now, what about any other non-respiratory related health problems with your animals? Anybody have any questions they need to pop in with?
I have a question. I have four Shih Tzu, and one of my 11-month-old ones has been having loose stools, but in the middle of the night. But during the daytime, everything is fine. I haven't changed the food. I haven't changed the treat. She eats what everybody else is eating. I can't discern a cause. It's only been going on a couple of days, but it's just odd because her beam is great. Any ideas?
Is it the same time or middle of the night? Do we know about when or exactly when?
No, I don't, because there's pads down and she goes on the pad. Unless the smell is so horrific, it permeates my dreams and I wake up. It's just there in the morning.
So it will smell horrific sometimes.
Once it did, yeah.
Just once.
Oh, just okay. Once. But it's been just three times now so
three
far.
Three or four times, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And there's been no food changes?
Nothing's changed. And it's not, I think the first time there was a lot. Now it's tapered off. It's very little, but it's still there.
Okay. Yeah. I would first start with doing some things like increasing the amount of probiotics or digestive enzymes that okay. pup is on.
Okay.
And, you know, since it's getting better, I don't think I would even necessarily go to marshmallow root, herbal, or slippery elm. You may want to try, who knows, maybe there's some bad dreams or something. You might want to try a dose of rescue remedy before you go to bed. Definitely Reiki, maybe twice a day.
Okay.
And then if it starts to get worse, then you would need to look at homeopathy.
Yes.
Anything else, Dr. Jeff?
Well, Atria asked about a kitty who appears to be breathing hard when she's resting, and I was about to answer that, you know, my first
Adria,
question.
Has she always done that? How old is she?
Sorry, I was muted. She's about somewhere between 12 and 13, and yes, she's always done that when she is at rest or sleeping, if I'm next to her.
If she's always done it, then that's normal for her. Wouldn't worry about it at all.
Yeah, and is she purring at you when she's in the rested state?
No, She's sometimes fast asleep, but I can see her abdomen just moving rapidly as though she would be breathing rapidly, but she's not.
Or she's dreaming.
Yep, that would be my thought.
Oh, okay.
She's having a fun dream, sort of like a dog who paddles.
Yeah,
she's
while they're sleeping. They're not having a seizure. They're just having a fun dream.
Great.
Well, it's a little after 9, so we're going to wrap it up. And remember, if there's a medical problem that you're concerned about that we didn't take time to discuss or you felt too rushed to talk tonight, be sure to post that in the forum, and we'll try to make sure we respond there. And
Robin, raise your hand. So Robin, send me your question directly. We'll get to that by email, because I know everyone has to get going. It's already after 9.
And I'll see you tomorrow, Dr. Jeff.
Oh, I'll see you. Actually, see you, Pam?
At 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So Skype.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
All right.
Well, all right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you all. We'll see you
next week. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you.